I was selling half my shit yesterday, and so oh, it looks like we're live here.
Right. We are. Hey. We are live, hey, Joe. Selling half your shit, Joe.
Yeah, no, I was just up on everything, and I'm like sitting here. You know, I just get burned when I hold too long sometimes. So
yeah,
I just started trimming, and you know, delevered everything, and started pulling out, and now I'm going back into pools. So we'll talk today about the pools that I like, where I'm going to start maneuvering back in. I just wanted to kind of like assess a full snapshot of where I was at everything.
Yeah.
And then just take profits, man, instead of like, you know, effing that up.
Dude, I got to tell you, my thing today is gut. I have made the decision that I am not going to ignore my gut, man. Like every time I ignore my gut, it fucks up. On Saturday, I had this urge to sell everything.
Yeah, we talked. Yeah.
Yeah. And on Sunday night, I said, or Sunday afternoon, I said, everything's up. I feel like I should sell everything right now. Shit is about to happen. And I didn't. I did not. And so now, you know, I take a little haircut on the fuck. Speaking of haircuts, Joe got your haircut.
Yeah, I gave myself a haircut recently.
So I gave myself a haircut because I didn't follow my gut. You know, and it irks me because, look, I like to look at the data. I like to look at numbers. But for some reason, I have, you know, my mom always says she's psychic, right? She has like these premonitions. Not psychic, psychic. But she has these premonitions and she goes with them. She like says, okay. And I'm sure it's all like prevailing winds, data, all the inputs coming in that make my brain say you should do this, but it feels like a gut instinct. And you know, I need to stick with it. I gotta go with the gut. So wish I had sold you know, nothing horrible at the moment, but you know, just pisses me off to give money away overall value.
Well, mine is more that, you know, there's two things. There's impulse and there's gut. And so to me, I think you have to, this is my strategy.
That's
when
a good way.
I start feeling that intuition, then I just sit on it for a little bit. That's why that nuke button on Matrix Swap scares the shit out of me, because I'd be like hand on the buzzer ready to go all the time. And, you know, I have to like kind of just look at the data again all the time. And so, you know, what I trimmed is stuff that I was up 7x on or 4x, you know. I'm just, you know, when it's that high and stuff, you know, games are going on at the high levels. To me, I think you got to take profit.
And it's
harder in DeFi than just in spot trading or perp trading, because you don't, you're looking at so many, each thing is like five variables.
Yeah.
Versus spot is one, basically. Well, I mean, BTC, ETH, and then whatever you're in.
Yeah.
So I try to like stay steady at that point and go back and forth.
Well, I just would be like to buy in some. I'd like to be buying some deals right now instead of counting the you know, the haircut loss. You know, that's what sucks. Anyway, it is what it is. Life goes on, and
it's coming back. It's coming back already.
Yeah, coming back. Look, you know, I mean, I had some stops hit on the mean reversion side. That's why they're there. So, you know, but I probably could have ridden those out or turned everything off. I did. Yeah, I did on yesterday afternoon. I went with my gut and I turned off all bots, turned everything off. I was like, something is, so it could have been a lot worse. You know, so.
Well, look, all the exchange flows are good. You know, all the long, short balances are good at this point. I mean, to me, I looked at this one as just, somebody on Binance was dumping like about 100,000 ETH. What was it this morning at 5?
Right.
And that looks to me like European. And then the one before that was around Asia, typical Asia time, you know, 8 o'clock at night, our East Coast time, US East Coast.
Yeah.
You saw like another 100,000 get dumped. So somebody's coordinatedly dumping, and then the FUD's heating up at the same time. You know, all this, everything's out there about, is this crypto winner? I saw an article on that today. And I'm like, I mean, to to me, it's like everybody, you know, they're just moving it. But when you look at the support levels, I mean, there's still a ton of, there's not much between 44 and 47 going up, other than like, this is Binance only, other than 20 million sitting on the 4,500 line.
Yeah.
But yeah. Below that, I mean, you know, there's, you know, 38 through or 35 through 41 is packed, you know, with tons of people. So this is to me a range play.
Yeah.
People are taking profits, reloading, and then trying to decide what's next.
That's what I should have done. Take profit, reload. But here we are.
And it's hard though. I mean,
yeah,
these guys are probably trading one thing. They're probably only trading ETH or BTC.
Yeah.
And you know, that's easier. You're trading 20 things.
And we're spread all over the fucking place. Maybe that's a consideration.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about moving some of that into my long-term wallets just because you know, I'm like, rather than I'm going to trim what's left and some of it and then move the rest in the long term and forget about it. But I did go back into the Azuki Matic pool on Crystal after I collected my whopping 61 cents from the ETH pool. After everybody came piling in and crushed that yield.
I think we have to keep our mouths shut. We have to do after the fact shit. I bailed on it too.
Yeah. The thing was that, you know, when you looked at that, I didn't realize that there was like 8,000 blocks to go before rewards started coming in.
I didn't either.
So it kind of sat there. And then right when that block hit, everybody poured in.
Yeah.
And, you know, do the thing that we talk about. Get in at the very earliest spot, collect what you can, and move on.
Now, the good news is I got out and then swapped out for my ETH again and had a little more ETH this time around. So that was a bonus. Yeah. Because price was down.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a good, I was looking at that this morning, what I wanted to do, and I always come back to ETH because, you know, I keep wanting to stack more, but then I'm always like, with all these alts I have, if ETH goes, the alts go too.
Yeah.
You know? So I always have a, you know, don't feel like, I guess what I'm saying is to everyone, don't feel like you have to own ETH, you know, own some blue chip alts too. Even like the DGEN stuff. I mean, that pops when ETH pops.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I kind of go back and forth in my head on that, but I don't do anything other than, you know, a little bit of BTC, ETH, and then big alts. I don't do like any of the 2017 stuff.
Right.
I'm not in any of that. You know, Litecoin, no. Ripple, no. Well, I think I have a couple of Ripple laying around somewhere. Tron, I got some left, but I don't touch it. I just play the new stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's where we get this up and down. But, you know, I don't know. I'm okay.
Well, I wish Crystal could get this Kronos network interface functioning properly. You know, it has connection problems on a regular basis. It's kind of annoying.
How are those wallets looking? I mean, those funds, those pools.
I was doing well. You know, we took a hit last night on it because I think people started dumping their rewards. But it's a real pain in the ass if you can't get in to get out, you know. And that's currently the problem is that I can't every other time I try, I can't get this fucking contract to connect. So it's kind of annoying.
Yeah. People have been complaining about Kronos and other channels too.
Yeah. I think it's just overloaded.
Yeah. One thing I did find interesting, I got some intel on Geist yesterday and why that's been going down. Evidently, somebody, some whale had staked 600 million stable coins on the platform and has been dumping rewards every day.
Aha. You know,
like 50,000 a day.
That's what fucking Justin Sun did to Liquity. He bought billion. He put like a billion in there and then fucking dumped on it.
Yeah. So, you know, when I hear that going on, I mean, eventually you're going to get to the point where that guy's going to get tired of playing or gal is going to get tired of playing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you DCA. I mean, I pulled out of the fund, the LP fund there, but I still have everything staked. And, you know, I mean, I went from a couple hundred Geist to like, you know, 3,500, say, Geist. So
right.
That was my objective. You know, even though I was down a little bit in the LP and it chewed up some of my FTM when it was rebalancing my Phantom, which I didn't like. But, you know, I'm still up. So,
right.
You know, that's kind of the thing. If the rewards outpace the declines, then you still do okay. So it's kind of hard to like look at price, but not look at price, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. What else you got going on?
Oh, let's see.
Snowbank is trying to get back to where it once was, which is good. Yeah. I'm glad to see it's moving up, and you know, I'm still printing money, which is always a good thing. So I'm happy about that. What else?
Well, Blizzard and Time and Snowbank on Avalanche. But I heard about Avalanche today. I didn't touch that. I didn't add to it. But I heard something really interesting is that Deloitte has been leveraging Avalanche to improve recoveries from natural disasters and public health emergencies.
What?
So now you have look here.
What are they doing?
A new cloud-based platform leverages Avalanche blockchain to improve security, speed, and accuracy of FEMA reimbursements.
Oh, so using it very for nice.
Disaster assistance. So, you know, here's an example of, you know, a big four consulting firm, you know, that is as establishment as it gets.
Yeah.
That is using blockchain technology to improve efficiencies and at least be able to audit, monitor, do forensic checks. Because a lot of these big aid programs have, you know, globally have, you know, some inefficiencies into them.
Yeah.
I don't want to say corruption, but, you know, see, Brad goes for the more descriptive adjectives.
Why don't you want to say corruption? Just say fucking corruption.
I don't know, because I can't prove it, I guess. But look, it says here's the. Because
I don't want to get sued, Brad. I don't want to get sued.
Well, you know, and I do some work with those guys too.
There you go.
Yeah. But look, it says the key capabilities are streamlining recovery efforts by organizing the documentation, simplifying document retention, reducing administrative costs, mitigating risk, building resiliency by documenting compliance with federal procurement standards. I think it's called Close As You Go, something like that. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's interesting.
You know, there was some other stuff out that I saw, but that was the one that really caught me. I saw some SEC discussion. I saw some, you know, crypto winter FUD too, and that kind of stuff I just sort of ignore.
Yeah.
Because that's people using it to move the price down, everyone.
Yeah.
So you get scared and sell. Doesn't mean don't sell any of it. It just means, you know, try not to listen to all of this because there's always a purpose.
Yep. There's always a reason. This is just ENS sitting at 51. You know, not bouncing back to those peak first day highs, but that's normal.
What did I hear about them today? There was something about ENS in the chats.
No, really?
There was something. I will tell you. Coinbase Pro listing. That's right. Coinbase Pro.
And Alchemist made Coinbase Pro yesterday.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of talk in one of my channels about somebody at Coinbase is leaking the pending listing information.
No.
And they're all saying that's insider trading. And I don't know if it is or isn't, but
until it's actually determined to be a security, could it be? How could it be?
That's what my point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I think you can, you know, we make decisions all day, not financial, of course, but anything else on inside opinion, inside information. I mean, you're buying a piece of real estate. I mean, you know, you talk to people, get opinions.
Yeah.
So I think you got to look at all the sources and then see who's saying what. And then again, use that instinct.
Did you see this thing? Did we talk about this already? Constitution DAO?
No, I have not seen that.
So there's 11 copies of original copies of the United States Constitution in existence. Mm-hmm. And this is a group of folks that formed a DAO to raise $20 million to buy it.
I saw that. It's like a Sotheby's auction or Christie's or something. I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, I think it's cool. I'm excited about it. But $20 million would do a fuck of a lot in the political arena to secure our freedoms instead of having the piece of paper. But, you know, whatever. It's an admirable initiative because they want to make it something that is available to people to see and not have it locked in some collector's, you know, warehouse or whatever. But so I like that. At times it seems silly and other times admirable. Jill, I lost you, or did you lose me? Oop, you froze. Joe froze. You froze, buddy. I didn't hear anything you said.
Yeah, so did you.
Oh, well, one of us froze. I don't know who. You froze again. What's my connection? What's going on? What's going on? I'm connected. Let me try another website. Is it Joe or is it me? It is Joe. Joe, it's on your end, Chucky. All right, folks. There's Joe back.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was you or me, so I just tripped the VPN.
I think it was you. I refreshed a few pages and my connection was fine.
Back to the constitutional doubt thing. I think what's interesting about that is it's almost like fractional ownership. Okay, so if you buy the DAO units, but also fucking NFT it, man.
Yeah.
You know, and then fractionalize it there again.
Yeah, I like that. That makes sense.
So I think that's kind of, I mean, I've always been a big fan of like fractionalized art. You know, what if you had a DAO with, you know, a basket of impressionist paintings, you know, a couple of billion worth, and then everybody could come in and own parts of it or pieces of it. And then maybe everybody that took a piece got an NFT of every, you know, there's a however many shares of the DAO there are, or however you're going to do it, but you need something realistic. They got a little NFT of everything in there too, a piece of it that has value. If your NFT of, you know, one of, you know, Cezanne's paintings, let's say, and that painting's probably worth, you know, anywhere from 800 million to a billion plus, and you got a piece of that, that's value.
Yep.
So, you know, then again, DeFi it, yield farm it, things like that. So that's what I kind of find. I see that an easy step in that direction. Picking the Constitution is kind of an interesting one. I don't know. I would probably go for art, but over that myself. But, you know, I remember when one was up a ways back, that the original Declaration of Independence sat in a room on the Capitol Hill, I believe, for about 120 years in a room where everybody was, you know, drinking and smoking and all that. So, you know, everybody wondered why it's got this yellow tint to it. It's because it was just thumbtacked to the friggin' wall.
That's fucking hilarious.
They took it down, I think, like 1880 or something, and then put it in the archives. But
wow, you know, there's some fucking brilliant.
Yeah, these things disintegrate. So I think it's kind of cool in that regard.
Yeah.
And who doesn't really, you know, want a piece of it, I guess. But it's also something that'll bring new normies and newbies into the game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So Paraswap's doing an airdrop. Yep. But they got in a little trouble because they were saying that people who had used the platform would get the airdrop, which sounds great. So that would be 1 million unique addresses. But then they used some weird criteria to narrow it down to 20,000 addresses eligible to get their token, PSP token. And I was trying to see how they clarified what users were. It was like somebody that's used it in the last 6 months, but also used other swaps. I don't know if they're trying to encourage people to come back and use Paraswap. I mean, I just didn't understand it. And I think a lot of people were like, what the fuck? I've been using Paraswap. Why am I not getting this? Why are there only 20,000 addresses getting this when over a million people have, or addresses have, you know, contributed volume to that exchange? I mean, I've used Paraswap a couple of times, but
I never used it.
I did a couple of times. I had, you know, it wasn't something I really was like. There were a lot of people excited about Paraswap. I didn't quite get it, but whatever. So
it was about the para chains. You know, they were looking at it as cross-chain liquidity and all of that, but it's not that.
No, so, it's just like all the other bridges. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know that they've satisfied anybody, because at the end of the day, there's, you know, 980,000 people who are wallets that aren't getting an airdrop that are kind of annoyed, which isn't great for your brand, right? Like, so you had the opportunity to reward everyone that used your site. Right? Used your swaps, give it proportional to volume or the size of the trade or number of trades, right? Yeah. But instead, what you do is you do it only to 20,000 people and you piss off the 980,000 or 900,000 people who didn't get it. So how many of those 900,000 you think are going to come back to Paraswap and use the shit out of it?
No, I think it's going to be hello cow swap, hello slingshot.
Exactly.
Hello everybody else.
Exactly.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah. This is the problem in DeFi when a project is solely run by people thinking about numbers, not thinking about brand impression, brand integrity, mm-hmm. right? You know, they all hate the marketing guys or the strategy guys until they're in trouble. And this is a great example of, yeah, let's not think through this and we'll just do, you know, the logical developer think instead of the what does this do to our brand think. And so from my perspective, just kind of stupid, but whatever. You know,
I go with colossal screw up.
Yeah.
You're giving something away for free, yet you still manage to piss off 900,000 people.
Yeah.
Or wallets or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just bizarre.
Yeah. Stupid. Fucking. Oh, you know, or don't even announce it. You know, just drop it.
Drop them.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. Whatever. Oh, yeah, that's I don't know what Constitution DAO. Well, that's all I got, Joe. Let me go through.
Yeah, there's some good stuff out there, but, you know, it's a down day. You know, there's not a lot of good media.
No. There was a story I saw yesterday. Oh, I know. Friggin' Polygon launched another roll-ups platform. Which I'm excited that they're like trying to innovate. They're doing the thing. I interviewed the partner in charge of EY's blockchain initiative. And they were doing an integration of their Nightfall, which is, I think we talked about it before on the show, which is the privacy based layer two for Ethereum that protects the privacy of your transactions. And allows enterprises to utilize it as well as retail traders or anybody else can utilize it if they want to protect the privacy of their transactions, lower fees, higher speed, et cetera, et cetera. So they did this integration with Polygon, and Polygon and EY partnered together. And then today they launched another rollups. I think that's all great. And I love to see Polygon providing options and everything, but at some point you're going to have to make a couple of bets, right? We have so many layer twos right now, along with so many layer ones, that the adoption levels of some of these are not going to get, where people want them. And Polygon has a shrinking, you know, level of TVL.
So, I know.
So I don't know if they think that spreading themselves out to catch more of the more sophisticated traders is why they're doing this stuff. And that may be the case, but at some point you need to kind of say, okay, this is where we're headed. Or at least a couple of things is where we're headed. Now, the other side of it is they have a big cross-chain mission and, you know, all that's great. But I don't know. I just makes me a little concerned.
Well, what do you think about, I mean, obviously it was launched to fix the ETH gas problem, which
right.
By making it was cheaper. Well, ETH gas has only gone up astronomically even since then.
Yep.
So I guess my question is when this, whatever it's called, ETH 2.0 or something, when that comes out, what do you think that does to Polygon?
Well, it's interesting because transactions supposedly, I don't know where the hell I read this, but people are estimating the transactions will still run, you know, $15 to $30, $35, $40, right? So,
okay.
Yeah. So for the retail trader, that's still, you know, you're doing a $500 trade. It kind of sucks to pay $15 or $20 for that trade. Right?
Versus a penny. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think there's still options there. The question I have is, you know, look, Avalanche and Phantom have passed them. Solana passed them, obviously. At what point do they stop relying on the proof of stake network? And, you know, they're behind in performance with Phantom and Avalanche.
Yeah.
They're not in behind in cost. That's really their biggest benefit. But when you're talking about pennies versus fraction of a penny per transaction, I'm not sure it's as big a concern for people. So I'm a little concerned that from a performance perspective, it just feels slicker and faster to use Phantom and Avalanche. You know, I hate to admit it.
It does.
It feels better to use them. So I don't know. Look, the at the end of the day, the other problem they have is the people in their ecosystem don't have to have loyalty with their project. Look at Sushi, look at Define. You know, these are all people saying, okay, we're going to be on multiple chains. So at some point, people who are using Define, if they can use it on Phantom, have it go faster, feel more stable, more smooth, they're probably going to go over there, right? So Define's going to see traffic heading that way. So I don't think Polygon has any lock on the user base or the projects that are in their ecosystem. And I think that's problematic. So
yeah, I kind of have been looking for excuses to sell it just because I think I'm, you know, originally I was in this at like 3 cents.
Right.
But of course, you know me, I bought and sold it 3 times. I think this last one,
you're talking about Matic.
Matic. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In my last one, I think I got in around like 30 or 29. Most of my stuff is there, but so it's at like $1.71 or $1.65 or something right now. $12 billion market cap, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phantom's like 4, I believe, or 5. And, you know, Avalanche is maybe a little bit higher, I think, because it's got a higher price. But I always go, how far can this really go? Can this be a $60 billion market cap play? And
right.
Again, we use market cap in a different way than, you know, obviously traditional finance uses it because there's no real linkage. But it's just the amount of tokens out there and what the price is. And yeah, fully diluted. So that's why you always look at how many tokens are there, what the future emissions are, like how many are hard capped and how much is in circulation, because it's dilution in my mind. That's the way I think of it. But I just don't know if they can, you know, if they can, they might be able to double. I mean, that's kind of what I think. I think that they're somewhere around 22, 24, you know, in the current dynamics. But Phantom, you know, I could see Phantom, you know, going up 10x from here.
Yeah.
Avalanche, I could see going 5x from here. Avalanche could compete with Solana. Phantom could compete with Solana. They can all compete with Ethereum.
Yep.
So, and we're not even talking about Near and all the other ones coming down the pipe. But so I'm a little just sort of on the fence on Matic right now. Not just for those reasons. It's more intuition and common sense.
Well, look at that. Look at this TVL market share chart.
Yeah, let's see that.
This is from our friends at Footprint, but which is actually a really cool NoSQL code charting system, by the way, folks. But Polygon's not even in the top 10 or top, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 8, right? Phantom, Tron, Avalanche, Terra, Solana, Binance, Ethereum. And the next one down is Polygon at 1.826%.
Yeah, I mean,
it's still a sizable amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong, but it's not a good sign. You know, it's not a good sign. Now, look, if you look at the number of protocols, and by protocols, they mean like, you know, DEXs, swaps, applications, dApps, whatever, you know, there's 117 on Polygon, 176 on Binance, and 367 on Ethereum. So they have a lead in the number of projects using the platform.
Right.
But that's not going to last forever if the volume is going to Avalanche and Phantom. You know, that's just... That's just the bottom line. Now, this is interesting. Arbitrum, there's 43 protocols on there. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about them, and they don't have a token. I don't think they have a
token. No token.
And so it must be a US play, maybe. I don't know. But maybe there's one coming later. A lot of people like that, but it's hard to get, you know, get set up on there, I think.
From what
the other guys were talking. I mean, I just go, how many networks do I need to be in?
I mean,
they're all doing basically the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just different costs and different speeds. And so it's hard for me just to pay attention. I mean, on Avalanche, I'm only in those rebasing, auto rebasing plays. So I don't even really, other than Blizzard, I don't have to really look at it and think about it. So it's kind of just runs on autopilot. On Phantom now, I'm not in any, I mean, I'm in Geist and I got some stuff on that platform still. But I don't think I'm in any pools over there right now. So I don't have to do anything.
Right.
Most of my stuff's still on Polygon related stuff. And, you know, I hit that every day. So, you know, I guess I just don't, until people start moving more over. I mean, I know stuff has been moving from Polygon to Phantom. I mean, that spirit, that spooky swap bridge is so easy to use and it's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever moved anybody, if you've ever moved from Polygon to ETH, I just did some this morning and you're staring down like, you know, $300 in gas fees to withdraw, you know, then you're like, God, what a pain.
Yeah.
But that's not Polygon's fault. That's ETH's fault.
Okay. Now this is pretty interesting. This is a chart of Polygon's TVL over time. Mm-hmm. So a peak high at 10.4 billion with a nice drop off here through October down to 4.1 billion. But look, man, they're up 1.2 billion since then.
Well, I think that
$1 billion.
Look, this is an Indian play. So, you know, a lot of these companies are in India and there's a lot of, I don't want to say nationalism's not the right word, but let's just say pride in the tech industry in India.
Well, it's, and
they help each other.
Yeah, I just interviewed the DeFine CEO and we talked about that. We talked about the fact that, you know, look, I've worked with a lot of Indian back office, tech support, development firms over the last 25 years. And I asked him, I said, do you feel like there's that crypto and, you know, startups in general, tech startups in general, but crypto in particular is allowing these firms to go from serving American or European firms to just having their own name, right? And build something that's powerful, wealthy, valuable to the world. And he said, yeah, there's a real surge in India of developers and tech people saying, okay, well, I don't have to contract work anymore. I can build something and make money and have value in the world. And I don't have to go through any gatekeepers. You know, I don't have to do anything. Right. And so it's kind of like, it's, you know, they people joke about the PayPal mafia and the Y Combinator mafia. And I said, you know, I'm sure there's this ecosystem of people supporting each other. He said, yeah, look at us. We were funded by Polygon guys. We were funded by other Indian firms to get off the ground, DeFine. And it's definitely happening. And I look, massive country. I think they are going to be a force to be reckoned with in tech for a very long time because they are now saying, we're going to do our own shit. We don't have to build everybody else's shit. We can do our own. There's still plenty of back office work being done, but I think crypto opens that door for them. You know, DeFi gives that, makes that easier to do, right? Because you're not so worried now about a steady salary. You're saying I can go be an entrepreneur and make a lot of money.
Well, I think that the days of, back office, offshoring, outsourcing, you know, I mean, still, I don't know how many H-1B visas are granted anymore, but we used to, when I was doing the IT services thing, running M&A for one of those companies, you know, we brought in tons of Indian developers.
Yeah.
Because they were smart.
Yeah.
And I mean, the code's the coding style is different from, say, Russians or East Europeans. It's a little bit more, a little bit more volume, let's put it that way.
Right.
Whereas, like, Serbs and Russians, they write just Hemingway type code.
Yeah.
You know, this is like F. Scott Fitzgerald code, basically. So, you know, but it's good. It's I
love that analogy, dude. That's the best analogy for code I've ever heard. That's fucking awesome.
And they speak English and along with another 800 languages. And there's 1.2 or 4 billion.
Yeah.
But it's not just India. You know, other people that are using the Polygon networks and things like that are all over Africa, all over Southeast Asia, in the developing world. Let's say we're, let's put it this way, $150 gas fee is not going to fly because that's probably anything from either monthly or annual income for a lot of people in the world.
Yep, yep, so exactly. Now
they can access this in a way where they aren't getting gashed on transaction fees. And I think that's great.
Yeah, I do too.
And so I like that it takes, you know, I mean, I don't say it takes a little more risk, but, you know, their strategy is not serving the first world markets anymore.
Yeah.
It's creating their own.
Build your own shit. You don't have to wait for us.
That's what we want too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, innovation, you know, if you want innovation, you need to have like, you know, 10, 15 different ecosystems, groups, economies, whatever, cultures going to innovate because we all see it different ways. So to me, this is just another big piece of a really great puzzle. So that's why I don't like to, you know, I like Polygon just from my standpoint, money in there. I'm just trying to figure out if I, when to trim. That's all. So thank you, Polygon.
Cool. I don't think I have anything else today, Joe.
I was just going to say, go to, Define, you know, has some really nice stable coin pools on it right now. I saw 40, 50% on UST, USDT pairs. So look, if you feel nervous, you know, drop stables into those pools and earn rewards. Yeah. I mean, there's no, I mean, they stay, provided stables exist, you know, they stay the value. So, you know, take a look at that. I saw some interesting stuff on QuickSwap. Go search the APY filter there. There's some pretty high stuff there. Yeah, look at those right there. UST, is that 48?
46.43, UST, USDT, 48. Define USDC at 126. USDC Route, which is also their company's token, 169%. Yeah. USDC ETH, 68.69%. Fuck.
And these are the ones on Polygon. There's also four pools on Phantom. And those are like two stables. And I think Define ETH, Define.
Yeah. I mean,
no, there's a BTC ETH pool somewhere that's doing 45%.
Well, look, you can beat the fucking inflation rate here with UST, USDT at 48.54%, USDT DAI at 33%. You know, those are USDT, USDC at 31%. Those are dollar pegged stable coins, man. Yeah. You're doing better than anybody else out in the real world.
In crypto, this is like a T-bill, basically.
Exactly.
Or a bank account. I mean, of course, it's all uninsured and you can lose it all and all this stuff. But look, if you're sitting with a wallet of it and you want to kind of take a chill for a few weeks, you throw it in something like this and just relax.
Yeah.
Come back and jump into stuff you like again.
Yep.
So it's always a good move. And you get those yields. Now,
and you just beat inflation.
Yeah. By a decade's worth of inflation, basically. You know, at least a couple of weeks ago was, but I think that's going up. But yeah, stuff like that. And then the only other thing I was thinking about today was, you know, I was looking at, what was I doing? I was thinking about Tron again, because you said that the other day. So I'm starting to dig in over there again, just to see what's going on.
Well,
I don't see much.
There's
right
some
now,
fucking TVL over there. Did you see that? I mean, they were in the top eight. Well, it was 3.5% of all TVL.
Yeah, well, it's because Justin pulled that 4.5B out of Aave and dropped it on Tron.
He's probably all the TVL is Justin.
Yeah, exactly. So, because if you go there, there's not a whole, I still don't see a whole lot going on. But
what happens if you search on Tron DeFi? They're like a gateway site for Tron. I haven't looked at fucking Tron in 100 years. Top Tron. Oh, here, Dapp Radar. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, I have to get in there. I have some tokens over there somewhere. I got to go find them.
What do we got? 1.35 million. Yeah, I'm not excited.
Yeah, there's
112 users, 1.5 thousand users. Please. What the fuck is that? Is this an ad? It must be an ad.
Yeah, some kind of, it looked like an IDO or something. Comment was given a countdown clock. Yeah, I you know.
Seriously, this is the Tron landslide? Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think when I bought all that, like 2018 timeframe, it was just me when it was going down. This was pre-DeFi, so I didn't, you know, you couldn't get rewards in DCA. You had to just keep buying.
Right.
And, you know, I bought it down from like 6 all the way down to 1. And, you know, thinking it was dead in the water like everything else. And then, you know, lo and behold, it came, I think it was as high as 15 at one point. I saw it at 10 a few weeks ago. I don't know what it is right now, but 10 cents. But still, you know, I mean, it's all over Asia.
Yeah.
So it should get some uptick just from that. But again, who are they competing with now? Looks to me like they're competing with Polygon, Define, and all those kind of guys.
Yeah.
All the Indian firms. So, you know, I don't know. I personally wouldn't buy any myself. I think I got about like 16,000 tokens over there. So I'm just looking to go move it so I can for some holiday money, you know?
Yeah.
So
my wife already spent all the holiday money.
She get that electric G-Wagon.
She ain't getting that shit.
Oh, fuck. Hopefully she hears it. Ask for the G-Wagon, Mrs. Nickel. My daughter wants
it. We're, like, we're not going there. We got the plug-in hybrid minivan. We're good.
Yeah. So what else? Let's just look at a chart real quick before we... I mean, it sounds like you want to... Yeah, you know, there's still a lot of support. I'm not too, I know a lot of people think that there's some correction coming.
Massive thing happening.
I don't.
It's trying to recover. I mean, look, Bitcoin's hanging around 60. Ethereum is at 42.97. Binance is below 6. That's a bummer. I like seeing BNB fly a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that too earlier. I was like, oh, that's surprising. All right, hold on. Let me just look at the indexes. All the stock market indexes are up right now. So I don't see any big issues there. I mean, look, the thing is, when you pump out stuff like infrastructure bills and things like that, it pushes liquidity out into the system. It has to go somewhere.
Yep.
So it doesn't show up in, you know, the working man's wallet, so to speak, but it does in like lower interest rates and things like that, supposedly.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, this is like the first trigger in my mind. If you see the U.S. market start going, then Bitcoin goes and, you know, everything else goes. So as long as this is stable and I see Bitcoin and ETH kind of ranging around and crabbing sideways a bit. I mean, look, when I look at these charts and I'm like, oh, okay. Then I look at the 4-hour chart and I'm like, yeah, that's not too pretty. Then I look at the 1-day chart and I'm like, yeah, okay. That looks about normal. And then you know, I go to 3-day. And so I just look at the trends on these and you can kind of see, you know, what, oh shit, no, I'm sorry. I'm in a 3-minute chart. I'm like, what the hell is this? 3-day.
You want to share screen?
Yeah, we can share real quick.
Let me turn mine off.
Let me just go here.
Okay, you're
up. Pull this one down. Okay, hold on. Pull this one down a little bit.
Trying to check my Kronos on Crystal. Yesterday I was down. Last night it was down like $400 or $500 off that $1,400 I put in. But
okay, I'm going to share now. So you might have to load it, I think, right?
Oh yeah. What the fuck?
There you go. All right. So what? This is like the 3-day chart. So I think this is this is May. And this is what, you know, this was the June stuff, May, June. And then this should be about July 15-ish. And then I'm looking at 3 days too. So then you see that. But when you look at like the 1-day chart, I mean, look, it's something's, you know, there's some profit taking going on. How could there not be?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at that, I mean, that's October, I believe. Yeah, October. So, you know, you're starting here at 41 and ending at 60. You're up 50%.
Yeah.
And you're not taking profit. You're a friggin' idiot at that point. So when I look at this and I say, okay, and I see this little
Brad's like, oh God, better go take profit.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Sorry. I don't mean dump it all. I mean 10%, 20%.
I agree, dude. Totally like agree. That.
Just manage totally it. Agree. So look what happens. I mean, you see when these
things I have an all in mentality.
Yeah, when you get to these like moving averages, you see where it bounces. So then you look at a 4-hour candle. It's a little tougher to look at because you can see where it, I mean, we kind of did this yesterday or today, and we're sitting here. But, you know, then you look at the support over here. Okay, so what I tend to do is I kind of go and I look at the 5 going up, and I see 5 million. This is just Binance right there on the sell line for BTC. And then I look, go down 5, and I see 8.5 million. So if I see ratios like that in any of these, switch to ETH real quick, you know, that makes me feel comfortable. If the bids are higher than the ask, so to speak, then, you know, even if someone comes in, I mean, look at this dump right here. This is 250,000 ETH dumped, you know, in that 4-hour window. This one is like, what, another 220,000, 200,000. Right. So it's taken, look, and so you look here, there's only like, you know, bids on what, 5,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it could still absorb a hit of 240,000 sells. I mean, and then rebound a bit. So, you know, you can see where people are setting these like stinky bids.
Yeah.
Obviously right there, 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 there. So, you know, when those hit, everybody fills. So it's probably a lot of them are the same people that are selling here.
Yeah.
So, you know, until something really big comes out that sort of is, you know, a U.S. stock market crash, let's say, or some big force majeure events, earthquakes, you know, wars, things like that. You know, I don't worry about it too much.
Yeah, it's good.
At this point. So, you know, but then, you know, if you look at something like this, you know, you want to scare the shit out of yourself. You go look at the 1 minute count. And this thing's just moving, you know, and you're like, holy shit. And then you're like, oh, it's the 1 minute, you know, and then, and then you back out to the 1 day and you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Oh.
Yeah.
So look at stuff like that. So you put it in relative concepts and just, you know, if the US markets are tanking, then this is going to tank too. Just because it's not decoupled yet.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is. Just play it the right way. And you know, this is one of the reasons why DeFi works too. Is that when that's going down, you're still getting those rewards.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what you use to buy at the bottom or on the way down, the rewards. So, you know, that's kind of a nice hedge for you. So that's what I like about DeFi. Now, again, I get kind of overthinking sometimes in DeFi and I go, you know, okay, it's tanking. So I'm going to end up with more tokens of the one I really want. And so sometimes I just let it sit and tank. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, triple the number of tokens and then I exit. And then I wait for it to go back up and then I go back in.
Right.
But I'm probably overdoing it there. It's probably just me like looking for something to click on. it's probably better just to like not even look, you know, like come back in a couple of weeks and collect all the rewards.
Yeah.
But you know, you look at this. So this is another one I like. It's the Vuebase wallet screener. A lot of people talk about this as being something or nothing, but it's basically just, is BTC going into the exchanges, you know, Coinbase, Binance, Bitfinex, Bitstamp, FTX, Gate, Wobi, Kraken, KuCoin, OKX, Polygon, basically everybody. And so you see in 1 day, 1,000 BTC float in, then float out. You see like 25,000 ETH left, and then you see the stables all pouring in.
Yeah.
So this is the key. This is when people are getting ready to buy the dip. So when you see that, then you know it's not going to go down that much further.
And right.
Then that's a 1 day. And then I look at a 7 day. And so all of a sudden you see here, what's happened over the last week? Everything's flowing out. So this BTC move in is recent. You know, this was just 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it probably sold, you know, it was probably that dump we saw. But then you kind of just stay on those trends. And then also come to this one. This is Vuebase.com, everyone. And long and short. Now this is just on Bitfinex, I believe, but you know, I look at the long versus short ratios and you see like, you know, 97 and a half long, 94 long, you know, 95 long, 91 long. And to me, that's important too,
right.
Because it means that, you know, there's not a big lid on there and it's not like everybody trying to drive it down. Everybody's betting on long. So to me, when I look at those, see if I could find that Kingfisher chart real quick before we go. Hold on. And you look at those like liquidity hunting spikes, and to me that's what this just looked like.
Yeah.
It was a stop loss hunt, basically, as you mentioned what happened kind of to you. Just want to see where I'm trying to find this chart and I'll pull it over onto the screen. There was one in here that was really interesting about a purge, basically. Oh, there it is. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds, guys. Just scrolling fast to find it. Oh, here it is. This is the, oh yeah, here we go. All right, let me pull this Telegram screen over real quick. Okay, so you look at this. Oh, okay. And you see, okay, this was the price. This was last Sunday, I guess, at this. So you see how it was all stacked up. So the guys that are the real players that are sitting here short here and here, you know, what they're trying to do is drive it down so that these shorts have more value.
Right.
And these are more the near term shorts, more hedging type stuff. This is more speculative, obviously. So when they see these spikes, what they do is they tank the price to get all that liquidity, all that bid liquidity.
Right.
And so they did it. I mean, it went down to like 57. So it went to about here, I guess. So they took this one out and took out all of this. And there was more here, actually, since the 7th. So when I see that, and then it bounces into the rest of this stuff, you know, a lot of this stuff and this stuff and this stuff is this stuff and this stuff and this stuff. It's the same people. Okay.
It just sounds funny.
Yeah, yeah. This stuff and this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are kind of the same people. So once it goes down, they're buying it all back up.
Right.
And then rinse and repeat. So you have to, everyone has to understand that this is the kind of stuff that goes on. This is also a really good site too. Kingfisher.io or whatever. I don't subscribe to it, but I'm in their channel.
Right.
Just to get this kind of stuff, just another look. So that's when I see that type of stuff, that's what I'm kind of thinking of. And then the only other place I go look at stuff is this BTC open interest and try to look at funding rates. So it kind of says like essentially how much cash is available to buy is how I summarize that.
Right.
And then I look at liquidations. So, you know, here's liquidations per exchange. So you can see all these liquidations here that got pounded. So, you know, that's what everybody was doing. They were hunting for that. So right. Let's say a lot, as you know, Brad, I'm talking to the audience more. Brad knows this stuff even better than I do. But, you know, you come in and you say, okay, I'm going to buy ETH at 4,400. And then a lot of people, traders, will put a stop loss in somewhere below that, you know, 10, 7, 15% down, where if that price drops, it automatically executes a sell order. Well, right. Look, when that's dropping fast, where do you think those sell orders are going to fill?
Of course.
They ain't filling at the price you said. They're filling 10% below that.
Yep.
So it's easy money for these guys. So to me, I don't ever use stop losses, but because I watch it all the time. And I just accept the fact that I'm going to get caught occasionally. But I'm not playing in big time in these spaces either. I'm playing
right.
Small ones where this doesn't affect. But this is what you watch to see what's going to cascade through the system.
Yeah.
So all of these, this is coinanalyze.net, I believe.
Okay.
Any of these for everyone, you know, look at all that stuff. And of course, I always go to the US indexes too. But, you know, to me, when I see this like wick, I'm like, see what happens. And I see this and I'm like, okay, you know, two big hits and here we are back here again.
Right.
So, you know, the question is now what happens when it gets to this, you know, the blue line, is it go through, does it go down, you know, stuff like that. So just stuff to think about, everyone. You know, I'm no expert. I'm sure, you know, you guys on Wall Street know a lot more about this than I do. And you hedgies do too, but it's just the different data streams to look at for the regular people like us.
Yeah, absolutely. So while you were talking, I was getting out of my position on Kronos.
Okay, you want to stop sharing?
No. So I've discovered a little bit of an issue though. The only bridge out
is to crypto.com.
I can't find a swap that will swap to a token that's available on the relay, which makes it interesting. I need to find another Kronos swap site because this is problematic.
Can't get out.
I'm going to try Kronos swap. Maybe I can do a swap there. There's another swap. Let me try that. Yeah, I can't get the fuck out. I can't get from BVF swap to a token that Relay lets you take off to either Polygon, Avalanche, or Phantom. I mean, I'll go to any of them. I don't give a shit.
So you can't get to BTC, ETH, or any stables?
No. I can get to BTC and ETH, and I got to USDC. But the relay, the bridge doesn't support them.
Yeah, I ran into that. I sometimes, like, I was doing that on Phantom, bridging some stuff, and I was kind of surprised that it would just show five of the tokens eligible to bridge. And one of them was like Iron Finance. And I'm like,
what?
So I must have the settings wrong or something.
All right. So if I want to get to Avalanche, I need to be in either RAVAX, Mematic, or Matic, which
is Mematic Mematic?
I think Mematic is like, I have no idea. It says I can go to AVAX. It says I can take my USDC to AVAX.
Do that.
Which I'm sure in about 10 minutes, AVAX will dump like a motherfucker because it's on a, it's on a.
It was looking okay. Hold on. I mean, it was like still 92 or something. I mean.
Yeah, I know. That's. I'm just saying, as soon as I do this, it's going to fucking dump. I guarantee it. But
while
I'm just,
it's stuck in transit.
I'm sounding more like my mother-in-law. So.
Yeah. No, you got to stay positive.
I'm going for the AVAX swap. Let's see if it'll work. It doesn't call it our AVAX here on this swap. So let's see if we actually get what is swappable. We'll try. All right, I'm gonna swap it. You know, I made like $500 on that little pool. Yeah, there.
Get out.
Yeah,
lunch money.
Taking it and running.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I noticed like some of the stuff is like Matic seems a little off further. You know, I just see little people are taking profit. Yeah. But PBR's up. I mean, I everybody's in now. Looking at PBR. I mean. That's at like 350. It was up almost to 4 yesterday on the KuCoin listing. And yep. There's something else going on there, but I can't pay attention because their Telegram thing, it's like 10,000 messages a day. And I'm like, don't care to do it.
30 Kronos trade transfer fee. What the fuck?
How much 30? Is Kronos?
I don't. Jesus Christ. Now I got to go back and it doesn't see AVAX. I've got 13 Kronos in my account. You know what, people? Somebody better figure out this fucking seamless bridging shit because I'll be all over it.
Yeah, you know? No. I mean, isn't that what, you know, that's a router protocol supposed to do? That's a
Polkabridge. It doesn't seem there's RAVAX. Oh, what the fuck? All right.
That's the danger of new chains, all right? Yeah. So you'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. I'll spend an hour of my life trying to figure out what the fuck token I can get this into it out.
You know, I'll tell you a quick story before we go. Just a little crypto story like that. But once I was trying to get, when I had like 150,000 something Trons and I was trying to like get out, and they're all sitting in the Tron wallet, I think it was called. I would kept hooking up my ledger and it wouldn't recognize it. And I'm like downloading new shit and doing all this stuff, trying to figure out it's not recognizing it. So I watched everything on Reddit, YouTube, all of it to figure out what was up. And then I found a comment, you know, after 5 hours of you know, PTSD-inducing trauma, frustration, whatever, you know. I found one comment somewhere which somebody said, oh, no, this might have been the official comment. Try a different cable. And so the plug, you know, USB cable. I'm like, what the fuck? How is that meaning anything? So I pulled a cable off of a backup hard drive, stuck it in the ledger, plugged it in, and it worked.
Unbelievable.
So I mentioned that to a friend of mine, a big older software developer guy. And he said, oh, that's because the other cable wasn't pulling power from the USB slot.
It wasn't a powered cable.
And I'm like, thank you. You know, it's just like that kind of stuff happens all the time in crypto, but got to remember it's on the blockchain. So it's not going anywhere. It's there.
It's there.
Put the puzzles together, work the math, and figure your ass out to get it out. But you can get it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So now I got to buy some more Kronos.
There you go. Now we see the real business model.
30. It's totally the real business model. And so I'm going to buy extra and chew away at my fucking profits.
Well, see, you're doing the same thing I was doing this morning when I was trying to bridge some ETH out of withdraw ETH out of Polygon to Ethereum. And so the first time, you know, basically in Polygon, when you're moving out on their bridge, you hit a checkpoint. And this is where they swap out the Polygon version for the ETH version. So you don't get any double spending stuff going on. And so it gets there. Well, once you're there, you can't go back. So once you start, it says, oh, estimated gas fee, you know, $140. So I go to my ETH wall to look and see if I have any ETH in there. And I've got like, you know, a couple $100 worth because I don't do anything on layer one anymore. This has happened twice in a row too. And then I go hit the gate point. Now the gas fee has gone up to like, you know, $250. And so, and I don't have any ETH anywhere. So I found a little bit of ETH in the ledger wallet, sent it over. Gas fees were then double. And so now I'm like sitting here. So I just, you know, held it because it doesn't die. It just sits there in the holding area.
Yeah.
And so then I went around and I saw gas fees went down because I was going to try to lower the GUI and all that stuff. And couldn't quite get that to work because it's all this, you know, frowning upon that. but it was the max fee that was going over what I had. Then when it went down, I finally got it to go through. So, you know, that was an hour and a half hassle for me. Ended up being $160 or something. But, you know, I mean, it's the only way I can get out. I mean, if somebody could tell me a way to go directly from Polygon to Coinbase, that's what I'd be interested in. And you have to just, I know you can hook up Coinbase wallet to Polygon.
Oh, can't you send, you can send Matic to Coinbase, can't you?
From Polygon?
Sure.
I don't know how to send it that way. I'll have to talk to you about that. But because I've been bridging out to layer one relay, and going over.
The relay site doesn't recognize my fucking Matic that I just bought.
Well, there's two types, you know. There's the Plasma and there's the other one. So, and then there's the W-Matic.
This is fucking, if I have $1,800 stuck in fucking
Hong Kong,
Kronos, I'm going to be fucking pissed. The fuck?
You'll figure it out, dude. I wonder if there's
another Kronos bridge.
This, what I do in this situation is I just hands off the keyboard, walk away.
Well, you know what? The other problem is I started fasting again, and I just hit my 16-hour fast window. So
to start fasting or to eat?
Time to eat. Oh, here's the official Kronos bridge. Let's see. Okay. Now, I don't want to go from crypto.org. I want to go from Kronos. Oh, wait a minute.
That's the bridge. That's to teach you how to buy more Kronos.
This is only going to get me. You know what their bridge does? It takes me to crypto.org. And Ethereum is coming soon. The fuck? Seriously, you launch a goddamn blockchain and there's no bridge. I got to go through your centralized website to get to it.
Hey, everybody. Nobody said this was easy, right?
I got just money sitting there. I'm sure there'll be another $20 in fees coming up here soon. Why doesn't it see the Matic I fucking bought, Joe?
Dude, I don't use it. I don't know, man. I looked at it for a while and I'm like, you know, it's like if Celsius built a blockchain. I'd be like, yeah, right. Like, I'm going to touch that shit. It's like, that's what I kind of look at crypto.com the same way. I mean, I know they got a lot of advertising up and it is a cool platform in some regards, but I remember that they were in discussions with somebody I knew a way back about buying a domain name. And I was kind of like, why would these guys be buying a domain name?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't, that just shows me that there's not a lot of brain power going on over there.
There is a relay token. Let me see if Chronoswap supports it. No, couldn't do that.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a fun afternoon. I got to go because I got to go take a shower.
I already did. I wish I hadn't. I need one. All right, buddy. Have a great day.
All right, you too, man. And
everybody have fun. We love you. Thanks for watching, listening, tweeting about us. Rate, review, share. Love your comments.
And also, just remember, I'm just going to say we don't know what we're talking about. So you need to kind of like figure out all this shit yourself.
But we are not your financial advisor.
We're just trying to point you guys into where you can go learn about stuff and do
things. We're just fucking around. Occasionally we make money. Occasionally we lose money.
And we don't make any money off of what you do.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be doing any of this if you can't afford to lose everything you put in here. So
nobody's paying us to talk about shit. Nobody's doing anything like that. So
no,
we're just this is the call we had every day.
Not saying that we won't take money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll tell you if we're getting paid, but we are not getting paid.
So we're just shooting the shit like send we do money all the time.
Here's the wallet address. We will invest your money and we will lose it or win with it and we will not give it back to you.
Yeah. Also, if you have a project and you want us to come in and like red team it or something.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Send us we'll some beat of your the shit tokens out of it. And we'll come in. You know, of course, we'll beat the shit out of it in private to you, not in public.
Yeah, yeah. We'll tell you what's wrong with it in private.
Yeah. But, you know, feel free to do that. Send Brad a note, DM him, and, you know, we'll dig in. But anyhow, thanks everyone. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Joe, have a great day. I'll catch you later.
You too, buddy. All right. Bye-bye. See you later, man. Cheers. See ya.